The weekly conversations with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's previous lectures, Satsang, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Groups section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom everyone, welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's conversation room. In this room, we talk about the latest revelation from God to humanity, a revelation that has been prophesied to come at the end time, and we indeed are at the end time. And if you look at the earth, you can see that a lot of problem has been surfacing for humanity. And all the prophecies and revelations that God has told will come to humanity has come. And now these teachings and revelation shows humanity how all the revelations before it has been from God, and He has sent all of them. There is no separation or contradiction between them. The separation and contradiction is because the humanity didn't know that there will be seven revelations from God to humanity, and also many dogmas and man-made teachings has crept into the teachings of original prophets. So many people are still hanging into those dogmas and belief which is not from God. And therefore, it has created such a disunity between religions. Now, in this revelation, of course, clearly shows and purifies all those separations and reveals to humanity how God have told that in the last 12,000 years, seven revelations will come to man. And it has fulfilled the prophecies, and now humanity can clearly says where their religion falls in God's revelations. This room is for people to go to our website, study our teachings, and come to our daily room that is in Paltalk every day. All prophecies, all religions are united, and ask their question there. But if they want to know the answer in the deeper level, you can come to our room, weekly room in this room, and ask me and have a talk with me, have a conversation, and know that you will be answered if your question is on topic, on the mission of Maitreya. If you are sincere really to know what this revelation is all about, we, of course, have the people who come to our room and tell us they already have all the answers. We don't need any new religion, any new revelation. And, of course, they are absolutely incorrect, and it's not what God has prophesied to come in the last 12,000 years. And we understand their attachment to the religion and their dogmas and their understanding, but we have to listen to God. God says clearly that there will be seven revelations, and no religion whatsoever and no philosophy have the whole answer until this seventh angel or revelation comes. Therefore, we have to be patient with these people and guide them and refer them to the teachings, which is all in the website, and they can go there and download it, read it, and all is there for them to see what God revealed to humanity. And if they saw the vision that have been revealed here, then they can come and join us. If they did not see the vision and still they doubt, we leave them to God, and they should leave us to God, and God is the judge between us to see who is the truthful one. Every religion before this religion thinks they have the answer, but that is not what God revealed. It completely, clearly says it is a mystery until the seventh revelation, the seventh angel. Therefore, it is the most unique revelation to humanity, and anybody before this revelation, if they go and study or teaching, they see indeed it is new, it is unique, it is different than what they have, and what they have is a part of a greater truth, and that is the eternal divine path, the greatest sign, the revelation of all other religion that they have to add to their own in order to be able to see the whole vision. And that is the most unique revelation that humanity had on earth for the last 12,000 years. Therefore, those who insist that they have all the answers, we have to tell them, yes, we understand your attachment, but we have to tell you very clearly that what you believe is not correct, because that is not what God revealed to humanity, and you have to go study our teaching, then you will see that what you have is a part of a plan that has been revealed to humanity little by little, in a piecemeal, through different religions, and now he is revealing that man can go back to God through the communities of light and the following of the eternal divine path. And of course, the eternal divine path covers mystical path, which includes Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, saints in Christianity, Sufis, and any other teaching that says, me and the Father are one. I have to become one with God, and therefore we can have an experience with God. As far as we have not had an experience with God, of course we accept dogmas, we accept religions, and we separate ourselves from other people. And we think what we have is the greatest. But when we experience God, of course, we will see that God is everything. If God is everything, how we can separate ourselves from any other part of the universe? And therefore, we will become universalists and expand our mind and include everybody in our understanding. And then we realize there can't be more than one truth. There can't be many religions. If there is only one God, how can we have so many different religions? And therefore, this revelation then will make much more sense to you, because you realize that, yeah, God sent all this revelation, and these revelations reveal a path which brings the kingdom of God on earth and unifies our humanity. It covers and unites our religions and shows the way to bring the kingdom. And that is what is in the Old Testament. Old Testament, of course, you can study. In Old Testament, God is trying to choose a people who will follow His laws and bring His Spirit among themselves. And therefore, the communities of light is the second step in the eternal divine path. And on, we have studied and we have explained the eternal divine path hundreds of times. And of course, you can read them, you can listen to them, you can become familiar with them. In our website and our teachings, there are many ways. There is visual way, there is a reading way, there is audio, video, and everything that is necessary to teach humanity what this revelation is available in our website and is provided for humanity, no matter what kind of way will appeal to you, it is provided for you. If you like to read, there is Do, there is the writing of the Do. If you want to listen, there is some parts of Do is in audio. And if you like to see the greatest sign which crystallizes the teachings here, you can download the greatest sign and gaze at it and realize what these incredible teachings are. And then, of course, if you have any questions, you can send questions to the mission or come here and talk to me or go to our rooms. So there are many ways God has created and provided for humanity in this time that they can completely understand these teachings. And of course, I am still alive in the body, and since this revelation came from this vessel, I have the first-hand information for you, and I can, you know, converse with you and clarify the teachings, which is very clear, very precise, and crystallized, and it reveals the whole truth to humanity. And if humanity understand and realize these teachings, they realize their teachings and religion is a part of a greater truth. That's why we ask you to go to our website and study. And now if you have any question, you can raise your hand here or type in text and let us know. This revelation, of course, also explains the promises that God gave to many prophets and to humanity. The promises that God gave to Abram and Abraham. And therefore, he fulfilled them. Therefore, God exists. It sounds like Pankaja Dasa is very anxious to prove that, you know, Krishna is the only way. And he's asking, do you consider Krishna to be of a spiritual body or mere human? Krishna was a part of a plan that started in Far East. There was two plans for humanity. One was Judo-Christian Islamic Baha'i, and the other one was the Far East plan. And in Far East plan, of course, Hinduism was and Vedas were the remnant of the teachings that brought by Noah, and eventually it became a religion in India. Of course, Indian continent, the people who came to India, they were Aryans, and they came from Europe, and they split two branches. When one went to India and the other one went to Persia. And the one went to India, preserved and kept the original teachings, which also mixed with the native, which were from Africa. And of course, Krishna, Shiva, and all those great spiritual beings came to them and farther their understanding and teachings, and eventually create a body of knowledge which is based on Vedas and eventually we have Hindu teaching. Hinduism is a body of many teachings which added to it, and eventually now we have a body of teaching which is incredibly vast and includes a lot of different contribution to it. So Krishna indeed was a prophet, a Messiah, a representation of God, mouthpiece of God. In a sense, the moments that he was teaching the godly words, he and the Father, God, were one, as Christ also said the same thing. Okay, truth, Nova, N-O-A-H, Nova, before the flood of Noah, God gave the teachings, the mystical teaching to Noah, and he brought it to humanity. Of course, humans were split to many people, as the Bible clearly says, he confused them. And of course, one branch came to India and Persia. Persian, of course, eventually accepted the Zoroastrian religion, which for the first time it was revealed that there is only one God and there is the opposed to God. And Pankaj Dasa, as you know, the rule in this room is you ask one question at a time, you wait until you receive your answer, and then you ask question again. If you keep just typing, it's hard to answer your questions. So if you have any other question, do you believe God has form? God is everything. God has form, but it is whatever has form is not or the ultimate. Whatever has form still have the attribute of the creation. Therefore, God in the highest level is the essence which is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. So if you become attached to the form of God, then you will not go to the ultimate. So if you believe, just like there is a bridge, just Krishna is a bridge, Christ is a bridge, Moses is a bridge, and all those people over there brought these teachings to humanity, and instead of you go over the bridge to the other side, you just start becoming very attracted to the bridge itself. Oh, it's such a beautiful bridge and such a curve, such a nicely built, and you never go over the bridge. You never go to God. And that is what this teaching guides the Hindus and people who are attached to the external world, and tell them, go over the bridge, go to the other side, go to the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal God. And if you are attached to Krishna's body, therefore you never can go over the bridge to the other side that Krishna was trying to take you to. Therefore, we believe God is everything. Yes, he has form, but you should not be attached to the form, and you go beyond it. So if you have any other questions, now you can type. But don't keep typing, as mentioned before. Okay, Nancy is asking, is there any difference between the rainbow serpent and the eternal divine path? Okay, can you tell us what rainbow says, or are you talking about new ages that accept everybody and bring them in as a part of God? In the Krishna teachings, Krishna talks about, would you like to take the mic? Yeah, right. And see if you want to okay. Well, if you want to keep explain what the rainbow is, then I can answer your question. Then we can talk about it. And also, Pankaja Dasa says you are Mayavadis. Yeah, well, that is a part of Hinduism, but it is more than that. That is what again we are telling you: go study our teachings. You know, if you don't know our teachings, you just say think they are conjecture. They are not what we teach. Yeah, I know that they say that, but that is not this teaching is. That is just a part of these teachings, which goes to the highest. Okay? And if you go and study a teaching, you see it covers also Judaism, it covers Christianity, it covers Islam, it covers, you know, Baha'i teaching, it covers Hinduism, Buddhism, and believing in oneness is a part again of these teachings. And but also we believe, yes, God does have a form. You can believe that Krishna, not only God, has a form as Krishna, your body is a part of God, okay? If you are a part of God, you and the Father could be one. But the problem is you have fallen to such a illusion of Maya, and you have forgotten you are a part of God, and therefore Krishna is a part of God, but you're not, okay? So, but if you fall into the form, then you will not go to the highest. Okay? So, I guess you're not going to listen to my request that if you want to keep, come to the mic and have a conversation, fine. But, you know, if you keep typing, I'm going to have a hard time reading and explaining to you at the same time. Okay, you're saying your belief in oneness, but interpretation in own way, Krishna has three aspects, okay, impersonal, okay, all right, well, we do not disagree with you, okay? Yes, indeed, God has three levels. One is manifested, which is everything in the manifested world. One is the one is in control of the universe, and the one which is impersonal and absolute and detached from this universe. And you can call them, you know, Sanskrit names, but the explanation is the same. Yes, indeed, that is what we have, the Father, and we also have the impersonal God, which is absolutely in the bliss and is not manifested at all. And when it manifests itself through the chosen person to humanity, like Krishna, then he and the Father are one, and he represents God on earth. That is why these teachings has fulfilled the prophecies, has brought the revelation that which said it will come to humanity, and now it is here. And that is as powerful, as close to God as Krishna's teaching, which came when Krishna brought the teaching, when Christ brought the teaching, when Moses brought the teaching, and all of them are the mouthpiece of God. Okay? Nancy is asking, any of them prophets, son of God, being a druid? So which one? Well, I guess that is again your understanding, Nancy. Why do you say they were druid? A druid is just one part of our teachings, and it is not the whole truth. They were from God, okay? If you call God Druid, that's fine. I can accept that. But if you're just calling one branch of understanding God, that they came from that branch, you know, that doesn't make sense. You can explain more if you want, but that is not what we teach here. Silver is asking, my dear, thank you for your discussion of this. It is most helpful. Okay, great. I'm glad it is helpful. That's why I'm here to help. I'm here to explain this teaching and make everybody realize what they have, it's okay. But what you have is a part of a greater truth. Expand your consciousness. Expand the realization that God has been sending your teaching a part of a greater teaching. Accept, if you are a Hindu, accept that Buddhist also is from God. Accept Judaism is also from God. Accept Christian also are from God. Accept Muslim also is sent by God. Accept Baha'is also was prophesied and sent by God. Therefore, a Hindu, you are no more. You become a divine, you expand yourself, and you realize that, yes, indeed, God has sent all of them, and each of them are necessary to perfect his revelation. And this revelation is perfect. That is why the perfection have come, the last revelation of God have come to humanity. And if you really understand and see your teachings and your revelation and your religion, and where they fall in this revelation, you accept everybody else. You are not going to oppose. We are not going to have any war between Hindus and Muslims in India. They will not oppose each other's mosques or temples. They will not try to destroy a mosque and build a temple. A mosque is a temple. A mosque is a church. A church is a temple. And all of them are a part of God's revelation, and therefore you will respect all of them. And humanity start respecting one another and start opposing and demonizing each other so they can kill one another and bring destruction and disunity and all the problem that they have at this time. So that is the message of humanity to, this message of the mission of Maitreya to humanity, to expand yourself. You are a part of it. You are a part of God's revelation. We are not opposing Hare Krishna. We are not opposing Hinduism. We are not opposing Vedas. They are all explained in this revelation. They are all a part of a greater truth. Therefore, expand yourself. Well, Das is saying, Pankaja Das is saying that it's not about religion, I think. It's more about ego and power. If you know God, you don't fight like dogs. Okay, well, that could be truth. But people who want those powers and the domination, they are using your religion to do that. They talk about Hinduism is better than Muslim. Muslim, as you say, you know, demonize them to make them in a way that you can go and kill them. Or vice versa. Or Muslims say Hindus are not clean, they are infidel. They don't believe Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet, and therefore their life is, you know, okay to destroy. But this teaching is telling them no. God said Muslim only will take over 1/4 of the earth. And they have done it. They are finished. And Hindus are a part of the mystical path. And all of them are necessary to complete this revelation. With this understanding, then you go beyond Hinduism and beyond Islam and beyond any specific religion, and you expand yourself to accept and see that all of them are a part of God. Then politicians can use different religions and ideas to put you against each other. Okay, they cannot say that Hinduism is better than Islam or Muslim is better than Hinduism, and therefore we can kill each other. And that is what the peace will bring to humanity. This is the message of peace. This is the healing of the earth that we are living in. That is why we do not heal individual. We heal the whole earth. Those who really see this vision and accept it and become it, they will realize that, yes, indeed, this is the prophecy of coming of the peace to humanity. And it frees you from the clutch of the politicians. It frees you from the separation between dogmas and religion. It purifies you. It purifies your religion. Take all the dogmas out and bring the very essence of God to you. And therefore, the healing power of this teaching is amazing. Bring everything to the simplest form for humanity to go back to God. We have to create the communities of light. We have to live in the communities of light. We have to establish the communities of light so we can bring a system based on the communities of light, based on God's words, and therefore We will not separate man from man. We will not demonize them. Therefore, we can kill them, you know, and not even feeling remorse and feeling even good about it. He said, well, they were infidel and they were not following our teaching or our religion or our way of life, and therefore it's okay to kill them. And this teaching says, no, everything is from God. All the teaching have come from the same source. You are all one. Humanity is being guided to this point. And anybody who opposes these teachings and this revelation will not be able to continue the way it was. Then it's a new wine. It's a new, in a new skin. And it has come to humanity for a great purpose, to bring peace, unity, and kingdom on earth. Therefore, this what everybody has to understand. It's very simple. God said it's going to come. There is going to be a seventh seal open, and it has. And we are in that time, in that period, after the opening of the seven seals, and Revelation is very clear. What happens after seven seals, after seven angel comes, after opening of the seven revelation? The tribulation on earth will start. It will go through a period of very, very upheaval and warlike period. And then, of course, humanity, little by little, will understand this is from God. This is the teaching that God sent to humanity. And they come and gather together, create the commons of life, and will bring the kingdom of God on earth. That is the promise God has given to us. He gave a promise to Abraham. He gave a promise to Moses. He gave promise to Prophet Muhammad. He gave promise to Christ. He has fulfilled them. Apparently they killed Christ. It's not like his mission was done. It's finished. It's they killed him and they stopped his revelation and God's plan. But did they succeed? No, it's just like here. They oppose us. They come here and they say this is the can't be the last revelation, or we have all the answers. You have to become Hindu. You have to become Muslim. You have to become Jews. You have to become Christian. You have to become Baha'i. But God says differently. God says there is going to be a seventh revelation, and that is the one after that the kingdom will come. So none of them could have brought the kingdom, because it was not the whole picture. They had just a part of the picture and say, no, we have the truth, we're going to bring the kingdom on earth. And that's why where they go wrong, because they don't have the whole plan. Just like you want to build a building and you have only 1/7 of a map. You can't build the whole building because you don't have it. You have just 1/7 of the, you know, schematic. You know, you can't just put it together. And that's what has happened to the religions before this. And now it has come to us as this is what the whole plan is. This is the whole picture of the house is. This is how the drawing is, how to build the house. Now we have the map. We have the way to do it. And those who don't have it, of course, they're going to oppose us because that's what they believe. Okay? Hindus believe in what they believe for the last 12,000 years, or at least for 6,000 years. Jews believe in what they believe for, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 years. Christians believe in what they believe for 2,000. Muslims for 1,400. Baha'is for, you know, 200. And on and on. So they are very attached to what they have. They said, well, how could it be? We believed in for 12,000 years and you come and telling us for it is something even better than what we had for 12,000 years or 5,000 years or 2,000 years. It is, because God said it is. So if we believe in God, then we will know that He has promised for this revelation to come and His kingdom will come based on these teachings. And therefore, our faith and our resolve will be strong and one-pointed, because we know when God promises something is going to happen and come, it will. And it will happen. The kingdom of God will come on earth, and this is the path, this is the way. and the way is shown and given to humanity. And it is very simple, really. It is to create communist applied. We are not opposing any nation. We are not opposing any religion. We are not opposing even any government. You know, we actually encourage the government continue as they are until a point that they also realize that, you know, they're going to be having war forever. No last war going to be the last war, and they are going to be in war on, and it's not going to stop. Anytime there is a war, there are more destruction, there are more unhappiness, there are more opposition will arise from other parts that even the government who started the war didn't know it's going to start. And they're going to be opposed, and the destruction is going to continue. So this is the salvation of man, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, politically. Any way you look at it, the answer is given to them, and they have to come and create. But our job is easy. So our job is to create communities of light, connect them together, create the hierarchy on earth, and wait until the system that which is man-made eventually either fall apart or recognize and realize by majority is not going to work. No matter what system on earth, they are made by man, and man-made system is not going to continue stay forever. And that is what exactly the vision of the Nebuchadnezzar was, and that's what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar what that vision meant. He explained to him that there's going to be seven kingdoms, and the last one is going to be a clay and iron, which does not mix. And that's what is going to happen. Humanity is going to go toward a spirituality. They will awaken their spirit more and more every day, and they become like a clay. Their ego become completely humbled, and they accept the being a part of God and let God come through. They become the children of God. They are the chosen people who realize they are not the doer. God is doing it through them, and they don't not even accept thanks, because they know they have not done anything, and all thanks go to God. And therefore, they become humble like a clay, and this world, which is like iron, will not mix. It's not going to be able to, you know, continue together, and that fit is very flimsy. And therefore, the statue, which is the whole earth is built on, will fall and will be no more. And the stone, which came from God, from nowhere, will hit the stone. It doesn't need a big thing. It just needs a little stone to hit it. And the whole statue falls and becomes nothingness. And that's what we're here for. We're not opposing anybody. We're here just to give this revelation and create the communities of light. That's all there is into it, really. But the promise of God is that His kingdom will come. And as He promised before, I have fulfilled them. Therefore, He will fulfill His promise also in this case. And we can see humanity and the whole earth again falling to destruction and wars. And the peace is not there. Where is peace? You know, even we don't have peace in Paltok. Although we are peaceful people, our rooms, many people come and say, yeah, well, this room is peaceful. I don't want to be in another room anymore, because they are fighting each other, yelling each other. They are absolutely, you know, demonizing one another. But then you come to this room, we don't. He says, I'm a Muslim. Is that okay? We say, sure, come in. I'm a Christian. Is that okay? Yeah. I'm a Hindu or Buddhist or whatever. Sure. You are part of us. We don't fight you. We know you all come from God. We know your religion have been prophesied by God to come. Therefore, we don't oppose you. We know, you know, that your religion is good and wholesome, and the original teaching has a lot of truth in it. And the only thing we are asking you, get rid of your dogmas. Get rid of your human ideas and listen to God. You know, God clearly in His scriptures say that there is going to be seven revelation and all that. Sarek is asking, Sarum Maitreya, Sarum Sarek, what does self-actualization really mean? That yourself become actualized, you actually become what you have been created to be, to recognize and realize God within, and know that He is the doer through you, and you actually see yourself a part of God, and also recognize and realize what is His will for you. Before this revelation, humanity was meditating to know what is the will of God, but with this revelation, everybody knows what the will of God is. You don't have to meditate on the will of God anymore. Will of God is to create the comings of light and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth and direct humanity toward the light and God, and therefore they can progress toward God and become one. That is the will of God. Follow the eternal divine path, understand the greatest sign and our teachings and all that. Now, what is the will of God for me in this umbrella of His will? What can I do in this? Well, He created me and connected me to the mission, and now what is His will for me to in this umbrella of God's will? Therefore, you know who you are. You really why you have been created, why you are here. You recognize that you really don't exist. God exists through you. If you experience God once, that you recognize and realize you really do not exist. God is everything, and you have an illusion of separation of God, and that experience of oneness, that yes, He is the doer truly, not just the mouth service to say, yeah, no, God is doing it through me, you really don't mean it, you don't understand it, you have never had experience with it. But if you ever had experience once that God truly doing it through you and you truly do not exist, then you will be completely a person who is one with God and know His will for you. And then, of course, you have no choice but to follow His will, just like I didn't have any choice but to come here and start this mission. Okay, as I said, we are saying to Hindus, which has been here for more than 6,000 years, that you just a part of a greater truth. To Jews, that they say we are the chosen people, that say no, you are a part of a greater truth. To Christian, that they say we are the only way, we say no, you are only a part of the truth. To Muslim, they say we have the last word, we say no, you are a part. It's mind-boggling the claim we are claiming on earth, but that is the truth. That's what God said, and said, start this mission for me on earth. And I could have said no, but could I? That is the real answer. I couldn't, because that was my dharma. That was, I've been created here, and therefore I had to come and bring this revelation to humanity and try my best to decimate it and spread it to men and women and children. And of course, little by little, a lot of people is seeing the vision. They're understanding the incredibleness of this revelation, and they're joining me, and they don't have any choice, because they also recognize and realize that's what they have been created here to be. Therefore, meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, and become one with God first, and recognize and realize that you are one with God, and then when you had that experience, then you know who you are. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a chosen person who have come here for a reason. And then you don't have any choice, and you will know yourself, and you're going to be actualized. Actually, actualization means recognizing that you and God are one. You and your essence are one. You become actually who you have been, are, and will be. I guess we have a couple of questions here. Let me see what they are. Are they questions or just comments? Okay, Sylvester, I feel so happy and peaceful as I listen to you. Okay, that is great. Okay, I guess no question. I will. Okay, great. So there is no question, but that is the actualization meant. The word is good. Of course, if you go to the management, self-actualization means different thing. You know, they follow the theory of Maslow, and they say it's five level of, you know, progress, and eventually you, when you become actualized, you exactly know who you are, and you become a leader, and you everybody is going to be attracted to you, and you fulfill all the mundane desire of the last five very easily because you're actualized, you know exactly who you are. And but of course the correct explanation is when you actually realize that you and God are one, and you know who exactly who you are, what you have been created for, why are you here, you know how, as I said, the overall plan and the will of God has been already given to humanity, and that is the eternal divine path and our teachings. Now you can become actualized by recognizing that God is coming through you and you are one with God. And then, now what I can do in this plan, then you become an actualized person. I hope that makes sense. For those who have just come to the room, we have a, well, I guess nobody is in the room. Great, yes. Okay, great. Sorry, I'm glad you like it. So the, again, this teaching is explaining to humanity where their goal is. The goal is to become divine. That is what we have been created. And actually, become divine, you can say, is becoming actualized. You know? You recognize your divinity. You are not flesh, you are not intellect, you are not your body, you are not your mind. You are beyond all of them. You know, that's why they are trying to explain God with their mind. They are saying, explain God. As we said, a God cannot be explained. It's experience. If your experience is one, you have no doubt. They say, how, if God exists, who created God? When you recognize and you experience God, the question even doesn't arise. You know, you absolutely know it's been here, it is here, and it will be here forever. It is not something intellectually can explain, but when it's experienced, it is known to be correct and a fact. Mind cannot understand that something has been here forever and will be here forever. Eternity is beyond human mind. But when it is experienced, there is no question, it makes sense. Therefore, the answer of every possible question has been given to humanity, and I feel, you know, we have done a good job. You know, the answers are given here, and I'm not surprised that there is not much question left, but get on with the work. Maybe we should start a room that how we can now implement these teachings for humanity. You know, because there's not much question left, really. You know, we're coming to these rooms for probably a year, year and a half, you know, and questions are mostly what we already have answered, and they are all in the website. They have been given every possible questions is been given. Once in a while, somebody comes and asks a question, but most of the question really has been given in the website. The greatest sign is explained how so many times, and you can also, you know what greatest sign means and what the eternal divine path is. Really, it is time for the implementation of the teachings, and that is to meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, create communities of light, sacrifice for it, surrender and submit to God. Actually, surrender and submission to God means self-actualization. It means you let God come through, and He does the job through you, and you are not the doer, but God is. And therefore, you can say the fifth, that's why, that is the highest spiritual realization for humanity. When they become surrendered and submit to God, they do not exist really, but God exists through them, and therefore they can manifest God. And then, of course, you become universalist and you become an elect. Silver is asking, Maitreya, do you ever get angry? I do sometimes. I would like not to get angry, at least. Well, anger, if nothing is bad in this universe. There is a purpose for everything. Even anger can be of three kinds. It can be from ignorance. You get angry for no reason, for psychological shortcoming or desires or attachments that are not fulfilled, and or the way maybe you have been brought up, and anger is being a part of your life, and therefore it become a part of your relationship with other people. If the parents are angry and they transfer that anger to the child, or the child then he or she grows up, they might have the same problem. And it might be because you have a desire that for something that is not fulfilled, therefore become, when you see it's not happening, you become angry. So it has cleanliness of the chakras, and therefore you might use the anger not as as a knowledge, but as other part. It can be from passion. You get angry because you want something, so therefore you have in your experience, if you get angry, you will have it. You know, some of children, they have tantrum and they want something, they want everything, and they say, no, I want it. If they get their way, they say, okay, well, this is a good way. From now on, anytime I want something, pretend or become angry, and my parents are going to give it to me because, you know, that's the way to do it. So it can be a learned reaction to in life, or anger can be from knowledge. You know, if you can guide someone in the path by showing them you are not happy with what they do, they probably shape up and, you know, they come back to the path instead of falling off to Maya. So like everything, as you said, nothing is bad in this universe. It depends how it's used. It depends how we are using that in our life. But if you're angry for no reason and it affects other people and create bad environment, and our anger is not based on guiding other people to the highest level, but based on our own desires and wants, and we make other people uncomfortable with our unwarranted anger, then that's not good. You have to meditate on it. You have to exercise. You have to innercise. Yoga will help in this case, because it calms the body, it calms the mind, and you can see clearer where your anger comes from. And therefore, we recommend also not drinking too much tamasic food, coffee, not too much coffee, and the things that stimulate lower chakras, and we control our calm mind, and therefore become angry with other people. What about being on the other end of people's anger? Well, if you are in the other end of the people's anger, you don't get angry. You stay calm. You stay in the meditation. And remember, our meditation is breathing. Recognize the calmness between breathing in and breathing out. And breathe out and recognize the calmness, breathing out and breathing in. Stay in that calmness, in that unity, in that oneness between breathing in and breathing out all the time. So if somebody is angry with you, go to that place. Just stay calm. Just look at them. Let them be angry and yell and all that. And it's going to go right, slide over your back. It's not going to get to you. It's going to go back right to them who have been angry or have been cursing you or saying bad thing about you. It reminds me of a story about Buddha. And he was preaching one day, And one man came and he was very angry and he started yelling at him, you know, what do you think, who you think you are, and, you know, you are opposing Buddhism, and you are all Buddhist, I mean, opposing Hinduism, you are all Hindus, you know, Hinduism has everything you need to know, we don't need you to come and tell us what is good, what is not good in Hinduism, and cursed him for 15 minutes, and Buddha said, my friend, what happens if you won't give me something and it is yours and I don't accept what you give me? Who's the owner? The man said, well, I'm the owner because I wanted to give it to you, you didn't want it. He said, well, whatever you say, I don't accept. What is all the bad word you said goes to? Goes back to him that brought to Buddha, and Buddha didn't accept it. If you stay in that calm level, and the calmness between breathing in and breathing out, whatever people give you, you do not accept. Their anger, you will not accept. Their cursing, you will not accept. Everything they say, you will not accept. Where do they go? They go right back to them again. So you are free from their anger, and actually you are going to help them more, because they recognize they are angry, they are the person in fault, they are the people, they are making the mistakes, you are not. You are the person are calm and correct, you know. Of course, you have to meditate and be correct, and you can control yourself. Therefore, you can help others, they can control themselves eventually. So anger is from impurity, not being centered, you know. If you are centered, you know, you can become angry, but your anger is going to be helpful to other person instead of you think you are out of control. Actually, inside you will be laughing when you are angry from knowledge and from that calm place, because you know what you are doing is for them, it's not for you. So that is how you overcome the external world and their pressure, by being with God, but being in that calm state between breathing in and breathing out, and knowing that nothing can affect or disturb that calmness, and anything going around you is just a play. It is not the real thing. Okay, thanks God, I remember now, Maitreya, this is in though, yes, I forgot about it, yes, it's alright. That is a part that also our people more and more have to recognize, to stay between the breathing in and breathing out all the time. After a while it becomes just natural, you don't have even to try to be in that calm place, you will be in calm, that calm place all the time. So whatever happened in external world is really not affecting you, because you are with God. You are with, in the spirit, and you are always connected. So whatever happens outside is just, that's what it is. It's outside you. It's not affecting you at all. Therefore, you can go through life dancing with Krishna, dancing with God, without being affecting with what is happening in the external world. Therefore, again, as you can see, God has given great knowledge and understanding of human beings. In this revelation, it brings individual and collective salvation to man. It teaches you how to be with God all the time and be with divine. And we can create communities that everybody is in that level. Everybody is connected with the calmness within themselves. Everybody is in that place, and therefore we can have complete deep relationship with one another and understand each other in a greater degree, and create an environment that everybody grows physically, mentally, and spiritually to the highest possible, and therefore the kingdom of God will come on earth. That has been on earth 12,000 years ago, before the flood of Noah, man failed, and for the last 2,000 years, man was in ignorance, have forgotten their essence, have forgotten how to be connected to God and base their relationship and life on God. Now again, it's revealed to humanity how it can be done, how the relationship should be, how God can bring us together by respecting one another, by respecting that essence in each other, and being in that essence with, you know, with one another. And therefore, we don't have to fight, we don't have to be angry, we don't have to, you know, bring misunderstanding to each other, but bringing that oneness and great respect that each man and woman are deserve it. And therefore we can create an earth that is based on respect, not on greed and wars and destruction. And the only way we can do it, each individual, one by one, become the essence within themselves. Therefore they go beyond any emotional problem that has been on earth, and people can use those emotions against us. That they can bring that emotion to the surface or between groups and create wars and destruction. Really, wars and destruction is based on emotions. They play with your emotion, they arouse your emotion and attach you to the things that is dear to you, and then tell you, if you want those things dear to you, stay around, you better go kill these people that are against you. Either side, no matter which side you look at, really they are mostly based on emotion. But in that essence, that quietness, there is no emotion, there is truth, and nobody can really tell you, you know, the other people are not good, because you know everything is God, and they start respecting them, you start respecting them, and if you respect people, the people will start respecting you. There's another question. Silver is asking, I have been exposed to a teaching that the false ego is out to destroy us, and that it is as powerful as God. I don't believe that. It doesn't make sense to me. Please comment, Maitreya. Well, ego is the umbrella between you and God. It separates you from the essence, and therefore by this teaching, by this new meditation that has been given to humanity, if you practice to be in the essence with God all the time, ego cannot be successful. But as you will try to be in that essence, you will recognize that you cannot be there all the time. Your ego or the maya or the attraction of external world or your wants or desires or whatever is there will come in and take you away from that calmness in you, between breathing in and breathing out. And again, you are out there, you're angry, you're emotional, people can affect you, and you're out. But the trick is, bring yourself back to that essence again and again and again. As we said, ego has been in charge for many lifetimes. It's been running your life for hundreds of thousands of lifetimes. Now you suddenly say, no, I don't listen to you. I'm going to stay with my essence, with the calmness within. I'm going to stay in this unity between breathing in and breathing out. And I recognize that because I have meditated on this process and in the meditation that has been given from the mission to you. Now I'm going to go back there again and again. I know I forgot. That's okay. Don't be angry with yourself if you forgot. Because as we said, ego is very powerful. Maya is powerful. But go back there again and again and again. As you do that more often, you will stay there more often. And eventually it reaches a point that you even don't have to think about it. Next time somebody is angry with you, you suddenly are there, are in that calmness. And you just look at the person and say, well, why are you angry? Or, you know, when you are in that essence, actually it affects other people very powerfully. Because they recognize you're not getting angry, you're not getting emotional, you're not in the same place that you were before or where they are. Therefore, you are in a position that you can help them also recognize there is another place that is much calmer than they, where they are, that their emotion cannot affect you, that they cannot emotionally arouse you to do the things which is not godly. You know, the more we create such people, the more they will say, no, we will not go to kill another people, we will not go to war, we will not going to be emotionally, you know, aroused, you know, and therefore we can, you know, demonize other people and do things. So peace come within you first. If you create that peace within you, little by little you can create peace around you. And as you create more peace around you, you can expand that to the community, and the community become peaceful. You can expand it to a state. The state become more, states become peaceful, to nations, and the nations become more peaceful. We can bring peace on earth. And that is, again, another message of this mission. We are the Prince of Peace. We are the peacemakers. We are the people. We will not emotionally get involved with the world. We gonna stay with God and our essence, and we will bring peace to ourselves. We will bring peace to our family. We will bring peace to our wives and husbands and children. We will bring peace to whoever we touch. But we have to be peaceful ourselves first. We have to recognize that essence first. We have to go back to that peaceful place in ourselves first, and the path is given, the way is given to you how to do it, but you have to do it, you have to put effort, you have to meditate, you have to awaken your spiritual forces to go back there over and over again, so you can eventually be there, you know, most of the time. Okay, so there's a question Silva is asking, is this approach the same if one feels afraid? Of course, that peaceful place for every emotion, you go that in that peaceful place. Fear, what is fear? Most probably 99% of the human fear is emotional fear. And of course, the world the way it is right now brings fears that based on the situations have been created on earth. In the communist of light, your physiological and safety need is being taken care of. What else fear is going to be there? Any other fears within you is emotional fear, is attachment, and all the things that are not really real, but you have created yourself. If you are in communist of light, if you have any fear, then you can go in that calm place and recognize, well, I have a place that is safe. There is no war around me. You know, my physiological and safety is taken care of. Earth is peaceful. If I need something, even there are people that are going to help me have it. If I'm not completely, you know, rich or able to have everything I want, you know, the whole earth is based on creating an environment that physiological and safety needs of everybody has been taken care of. So any other fear is really not correct. There might be some legitimate fears at this environment. You know, people are afraid they get old. Who's going to take care of them? People are afraid, you know, there might be a gang who lives in our neighborhood, or there are drug trafficking, or the fears that is real, of course. But with communist of light, little by little, those things will not exist. The gangs cannot exist in a communist of light, because there is always people who will watching the community, and they will not, you know, stand for such a kind of activities. So we can see that take care of that kind of the fear, which is real for some people, and the only fear is left is the personal fear, and that is, of course, can be emotional. And again, with our progress toward becoming our essence, those kind of fears, little by little, also will be lifted. And again, we will have no fear, and we will be free in the comings of light, in God's lap. We will put our head on the lap of God and sleep peacefully, and wake up next morning and dance with God and in the community, and be a loving environment that everybody is desiring, and nobody knows how to get there. Now we know how to get there. It has been given. It is revealed to man. Now humanity knows. So, God's truth indeed is incredible. It is all inclusive for humanity, and we will all come back and be together again and again. And this is going to happen, but it might not happen in this lifetime. It might happen next lifetime, and all that. So, I don't see any other question. I've not PM'd or any question. But this room mostly is to bring in. Okay, there's some seems to be a question there. Okay, so if we are living in the community of light and we are practicing this wonderful meditation of the breathing and using the mantra, we should not have these experiences of fear, anger, etc., and we should be expanding love of God everywhere. Okay. Well, that is the idea. Of course, what we're talking about is the real communities of light. That this member is truly have recognized God and that peace within themselves. No craving of ego, domination, or feeling left out, and all the emotion of human is not there anymore. We're talking about the communities that people are actualized. They really, truly let God come through. And they are not based on the emotion, their life. In such a community, yes, you are correct. That is what's going to happen. There's not going to be any fear. And more people are going to recognize that oneness within themselves and outside. And you're asking what description of pure consciousness? It's just like you're asking what, you know, explain God. As we said, you cannot explain God. God is experience. God and pure consciousness are the same thing, are one. There is no separation between God and pure consciousness. When you are in pure consciousness, you experience the oneness with God, and therefore you know God coming through you all the time. But you cannot explain God. You know, somebody said if all the oceans of the universe become ink and all the trees and the rest of the universe become pen, and if you the whole space become paper, if you write and finish all the inks and broke all the pens and write all the in the all the space, you have not even begun to explain God or pure consciousness. But it is an experience. That's why we recommend meditation. We recommend prayer. We recommend yoga. We recommend good diet. We recommend good environment to calm your mind. And you cannot experience God if your mind is not calm. It's just like a lake which is turbulent. If a lake is the turbulent and the moon is on the sky, can you see moon? No, because the lake is turbulent, the moon breaks up in thousands of millions of pieces. You cannot see the round moon in the lake. But if you calm the lake and make it stay still, then you can see the moon clearly in the sky, which is reflected in the lake. That's what your consciousness is also. Your consciousness is like a lake, and God is like the moon. You cannot see the moon if your consciousness is turbulent. Your environment creates disturbance all the time, and you cannot calm your mind. You cannot see God. Therefore, the whole idea is to calm your mind first, and that is what all these techniques, all the meditation, diet, chanting, dancing, concentration, contemplation, meditation, all are given to calm your mind. And of course, communities of light to calm your environment. If you create all of them for an individual, hopefully he or she will have a calmer mind, he will not be under pressure of the external world, and eventually they will experience God or pure consciousness. Then they will say, yes, I do not exist. Not just a word, I do not exist, but actually you do not exist. God only exists within you. Then the people know by calmness in you. See, you know, we can claim anything. We can claim we are in the communities of light, we have, you know, reached pure consciousness, we are enlightened. But people are not going to be fooled. They know you by your fruit. They know you by your actions. If you really are enlightened, if you're really calm, you will, you know, express that calmness, and people will see it right in you. And if God doesn't exist, if you do not really exist, and God exists only, then whatever you do is perfect, and you will manifest God's spirit in you, and everybody also sees that and respects that. So pure consciousness is not explainable, as God is not explainable, but all the tools has been given to you to experience it. And when you experience it, of course, you and God become one, and you become a channel for His Spirit to humanity. I hope that answered your question. And again, this is the Mission of Maitreya's conversation room. In this room, we talk about the mission of Maitreya, and we encourage everybody to go to our website and study our teachings. And then you can come here and ask questions about this new revelation from God, and you can ask any question about our teachings and expand yourself and include your religion or teaching to this new teaching, this which covers all religions of the world and unifies them. Become proficient in understanding these teachings and how God has been sending all the religions of the world to humanity one by one. There was a plan. There was a decision made 12,000 years ago that eternal divine path will be revealed to humanity one at a time. That is why Noah brought the mystical path, awakening of spiritual forces. He eventually, the teaching he brought eventually, of course, came as the Hinduism and the mystical religions all over the world. And these mystical religions all say the same thing, that you and God are one. Experience God. If you have not experienced God, then you have a religion. That is so important for the people who are religious in different religions understand. Whatever the preacher says, like a parrot, they come and they blur it out. Right? They just repeat the same thing. But if at experience God, they would not listen to the preachers, because they know God just like a Sufi is in Islam, because they came here and Sufis experience God. Therefore they came and said Muslim that I'm Allah, I'm God. You know, I'm a part of God. And Orthodox people didn't understand it. But that is the first step to experience God. Therefore, if you have experienced God, then you're not a religious person. You no longer are Christian or Hindu or Buddhist or Muslim. You go beyond religion. You become one with God. That is the first step in the spiritual path. Second step is to create an environment that everybody can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. Okay. And therefore, I had received a PM, that's why I was reading, and creation of the communities of light. That is the second step in the eternal divine path. After you meditate and you awaken your spiritual forces, you go and create an environment that is good for you, and it's discussed many times. To create such an environment, of course, you have to sacrifice. Communities of light has been created or has been revealed to humanity in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is all talk about God wants to choose a people for himself, a community. And sacrifice is the message of Christ. In order to create such a communities, sacrifice is necessary, and we have to sacrifice in order to create such an environment. And the next step is surrender and submission, which is the message of Islam. Therefore, Hinduism, awakening of its forces, Kabbalists, the saints in Christianity, Sufis, and all those teaching that says, awaken your spiritual forces, know thyself, be still and know that I am God, are from the mystical path. The second, creation of the communities of light, is the Old Testament. Sacrifice, for not being self-centered, is the New Testament. Surrendering submission to God is Islam. And universalism, shattering all the narrowness of the mind, is Baha'i or Bab's teachings. If you go through that five step, you become an elect. So you see, this teaching doesn't have any dogmas. It's the path. Either you follow it or you don't. If you follow the path, you will see the benefits. You will awaken your spiritual forces. You will experience God. And when you experience God, of course, you become a valuable member of the communities of light. Because we need people who have experienced God instead of having religions. If you have religion, then you have dogma. You have man-made ideas. And what creates separation between man and man? Man-made idea. God doesn't separate. God cannot separate. Because God is everything. If God is everything, how can we say one part is better than the other part? Impossible. It's impossible to say that a part is better than another part. Therefore, we have to go beyond religion. We have to guide these people who are religious and they are having dogma, and direct them toward meditation and awakening of our spiritual forces. Therefore, we will not have Muslim, Hindus, Buddhists, Christian, Jews. We will have God-realized people. They will become individuals that know God. They are a spirit on earth. They are the spirit of God manifested to humanity. The more of this we will have, the less religion and darkness we will have. The more light we will have on earth. And that's what we need to create on earth. More light and more light. And how do we create more light? By understanding our teaching and this revelation and this realization that all the religion have come from the same source. Not only God is everything, but all the religion of the earth also has been sent from the same Godhead, from the same place, from one God. If they have all come from the one God, how can we separate them? We cannot. Not only we cannot separate any part of the universe from any other part, we cannot separate religions either, and therefore humanity are one. God loves all of them. We cannot say, God only bless me, but don't bless them. Because God loves everyone. He cannot just bless a part of it or one person and not bless those also who have a part of God's revelations. This is the message of unity. This is the message of unification. This is the healing power for humanity to come to understand God's plan and will and follow it. Of course, those who do not follow God's will, it's just like having a hand which has cancer, we have to cut it off. You have no choice. Also, it's a part of your body. You don't want to separate it. But if it has cancer, then you have no choice. This is the message have come to humanity, and all humanity have to come to recognize it, realize it, and follow it. If they don't, then they are going against God's will. And history and our teaching clearly shows what happens to those who go against God's will. God promised to Abram, and Abraham, there's going to prophets and Messiah come through them. And they did. Where humanity, who were against these messiahs, were able to stop them? Were they able to stop Christianity even though they crucified Christ? No. Because that was God's will, to bring the humanity to Christian understanding. Great Sufi from Iran. Do you know Nasser Hamedani, a Sufi from Iran? No, we do not know Sufis, but Sufis are a part of our teachings. Sufis are a part of the mystical path, and they are included in this teaching. And we encourage you to go to our website and study these teachings and tell Nasser Hamedani that a greater teaching has come to him, and encourage him to come and study our teachings. And if you have any questions or want to discuss something with us, he can come here. Even if you have any question, you are welcome to ask your questions. But we do not know individual people in the Sufism. We know that the Sufism has many branches itself, and they follow different understanding of the mystical path. That is such a wonderful thing about mystical path, is it is such a vast knowledge. It's as vast as God itself. And therefore, you cannot just explain God in one explanation. Therefore, even Sufism has been, divided to many branches. But Sufism is a part of a teaching. They have wonderful teaching based on loving God. That is bhakti, devotional teaching, to know, to love God with all your heart, mind, and spirit. And that is what the Sufism also based on, as is many other disciplines. Well, we have come at the end of our time. There were many questions that was brought up today, and we answered them. Again, recognize and realize the beauty of these teachings and revelation, and become one with it. Meditate based on what has been revealed to you, and explain in his conversation room, and become that oneness and calmness within, which is between breathing in and breathing out, and create the comings of light, sacrifice for it, surrender and submit to the will of God, and become a universalist. Therefore, with doing that, you become a mystic, a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, a Baha'i, a divine. And you will heal yourself, and you will heal many by recognizing this teaching also. This conversation, as usual, will be in our website in a couple of hours, if anybody wants to listen to it again, or those who have come later and like to know what was covered in the last hour and a half, you're welcome to go to our website and download the conversation and see what occurred here, or if you didn't understand a part of it, probably you can listen to it to understand in a greater degree. We are finished with this session today, so I leave you all to God. We will be here next Saturday, every Saturday at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, for an hour and a half, and we will discuss the mission. We encourage everybody to go to our website, understand our teachings, and then if you have a question, come here and discuss it with us in the conversation manner that we have in this room. Salam, everybody. Maybe see you next week. Be with God. Salam.